I have a couple quick announcements this morning to make. So the first is some very good news for the church. So we've been talking for a while about how Janet did some very hard work and applied for a grant through the denomination to go with the tech for the technology upgrades. And so I have something to read from Janet in regard to that. Your church board is very excited to announce that our church has been awarded a Brethren Faith in Action grant from the Brethren denomination in the amount of $5,000 to be used towards the necessary technology upgrades. These dollars, combined with the 5,000 Seeds of Faith grant from the Atlantic Northeast District and the contributions from our church members, will enable us to complete the entire upgrade project. So that's awesome. Thank you to everyone who contributed to the development of these grants and for the very generous donations from the congregation. I think in total, right around 20,000, I believe, with the grants is what we receive. So that's just absolutely phenomenal, and we get to continue with the improvements for the technology. And the only other announcement I have is Anna Mae Snyder's Celebration of Life is tomorrow here at the church, and that the actual service starts at 10:30 and is preceded by a visitation which begins at 9:30. So please keep Anna's family in our hearts and prayers as well. And now if we quiet our hearts for this beautiful Independence Day as we listen to some of Barb's wonderful music. Thank you, Barb. And I almost forgot, but we're blessed to have Pastor Chris Double with us here today to deliver the message. I can't wait to hear Chris's message this morning. If you're able, could you please stand and join me in the call to worship, please? Our God, we gather to worship you, the one who creates all things. We gather to worship you, the one who brings salvation through Jesus Christ. We gather to worship you, the one who sustains us by the Spirit. We bring you our offerings of thanks and praise for all your gifts.
We worship you,
our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. And now if you could please join in singing the hymn, and that's number 70 in the blue hymnal, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please join me in bowing your heads for the prayer of invocation. God, help us to live our lives in a way that glorifies you, Lord. Give us the strength to be a blessing in someone's life today and grant us the opportunity to lead others into the freedom that can be found in knowing Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Now you may be seated and sit back and enjoy some music from the dynamic duo of Barb and Barb.
I hope you all have your marching shoes on.
Yeah. And we even have a person with a baton.
Thank you. America. I'm going to sing it through once, and then back to where we go from the mountains, if you care to join in and sing along with us, it sure would be wonderful. Okay? Shall we try it? Okay.
Thank you, Barb and Barb. Wonderful, as always, and a great way to honor the Lord, I think, on this Independence Day in our country. And now I'll read the scripture today, and today's scripture comes from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And now if you could please stand, if you're able, for the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and that's 327 in the blue hymn. For today's prayer, I was doing some online research, and I actually found a prayer that was written by George Washington. So with today being Independence Day, I thought it was very fitting. And the text of the prayer itself, I think, is very fitting with what we've endured as a country over the last year as far as the unification message within. So please join me in the prayer. Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech you that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of your favor and glad to do your will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitudes brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. And do with the spirit of wisdom those to whom your name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to your law we may show forth your praise among the nations of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, do not allow our trust in you to fall. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now Grace is going to come up, and if the children could come up for the children's message.
Hey, great. How wonderful. Blessings to see all my dear children come up front. Okay, can you all sit there all right? Did you have a good week today? Okay. My story today, boys and girls, is about Willie. I want one of you to come up here and put Willie on this board so that we know who he is. You want to put him on here? Okay, take it. Whoops. Okay, just put it right on there. There's a piece of tape. There we are. That's what Willie looks like in the story today. Oh, okay. He's going to hold that for me. So we're going to find out what type of life Willie is having. Willie is a little boy whose mother and daddy passed on and went to heaven. So you know that he's a lonely boy. Willie was going from place to place, and one time he was stayed at a farmer's place who had a pig. What's a pig look like? You want to put that one on? Put the pig on. How can you have fun with a pig? What noise does a pig make? Let's go together. Oink, oink. Can you do that? Oink, oink. What kind of a pet would a pig be? How could you have fun with a pig? Do you think he slept with a pig? Well, he took a rope and put it on there. I was sticking the rope on there. And can you imagine leading a pig with a rope? That wouldn't be fun. It's not like a dog. You can't lead a pig. Well, he slept with the pig, and he fed the pig. But it came times, boys and girls, when Willie didn't have a lot of money. It was hard to feed a pig and feed himself and take care of his clothing. This was hard for him. So one day, Willie made up his mind. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell the pig. Do you think he missed the pig? In some ways, he probably did, but some ways, trying to feed him and all the feed that a pig would take. I don't know if any of you boys were ever on a pig farm, but pigs take a lot of food, and pigs like to play in mud. Okay, so he did that. He sold the pig, but then he decided, I'm going to take a train trip into the town, or we might say into the city. So he went into the city, and he came to this big store, and he walked into the store, and he said to the manager, who was also the owner of the store, can I have a job? The manager looked at him. He thought, can I give him a job? He seemed like a nice young fella. He had the most beautiful blue eyes, which some of you have, and he thought, I'm going to take this little young fella and give him a job. And you know what, boys and girls? Willie worked hard. He was honest. He did his job well. Even the customers liked him because he was such a nice young fella. And whatever he did well. And this is what you have to think about, too. Whenever you do something, always do it well. And the people liked him so much, and the manager of the store said to his wife, "You know, this is such a nice young fella. Why don't we adopt him?" And they did. And they gave him the biggest job in the store. And he finally became the manager of the store. The people loved him so much, and the adopted parents loved him so much, that later on in his life, they gave him a home and left him be manager of the store. This boy was a wonderful boy because he did what God wanted him to do. Just look at Willie. Can you imagine yourself doing like Willie? But let me tell you something, boys and girls. Willie did not forget God. He had God in his life. Every night before he went to bed, he took his Bible and he prayed and he thanked God for what he did for him, that God took care of him and that he was able to move on and be a great boy. There was one scripture in the Bible that he liked to read. "Feed thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Boys and girls, he knew that God was there with him and God took care of him. Do you think that God takes care of you today? Right, God is there for you. He's to help you. Okay, let's just bow and pray. Dear Father, we thank you for these boys and girls who have come up here this morning. Just bless them in a special way. Watch over them and help them not to forget you, God, but just to pray to you. Give us all strength, whether we're young or old, to reach out to you, God, in times of trouble. Help us to love you, Lord, as much as you love us, is what we ask in your name. Amen.
And the children are dismissed for Children's Church. And before we get to Pastor Chris's message, could everyone please rise for a hymn, "God of Our Life," and that's 486 in the blue hymnal.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back here again on this great holiday. I have to say, Barb and Barb, I had the best seat here in the house. Sitting here and watching how both of your hands just didn't touch. You didn't get fumbled up or even just watching their feet. The one time I seen that Barb kick the other Barb because she was in her way. But no, I'm just kidding. But it's amazing. It's amazing. I have to admit, I am terrible. I am not a musician whatsoever. I can't sing. If you see me up here, I'm kind of mouthing the words. I hear God say, make a joyful noise, Chris. I'm like, I'm trying. But it's wonderful. I love listening to music, and I love the organ. So thank you today. And today is a great day. It's our Independence Day. It's a day of our birthday, our country's birthday. God bless America. And how grateful we all should be of living in a great country, of all the freedoms that we have. I was thinking about that, especially in this past year that we've had. Hasn't been so great, just in case anybody didn't know. We had to stay with a virus and all this social injustice and all the riots and everything. We look around and we're like, God, where are you? Where are you, God? But then sometimes do we take a step back and say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you have given us. For this great country, we're able to meet here on a Sunday morning and not be scared of persecution. So I think about that on today, on this July 4th, as we go out and have picnics and we'll go watch fireworks, of what God has done for us today. Not just today, but what He always does. So today, my title of my sermon is, Who is God? I had somebody ask me, my wife asked me, so what are you preaching on? I'm like, God. So I figured I should elaborate a little bit more. But who is God? I'm going to start off with a story here I found. One day, a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go tell God they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, God, we decided that we no longer need you. We are at the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go and get lost? God listened patiently and kindly to the man. After the scientist who was done talking, God said, very well. How about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest. To which the scientist replied, okay, great. But, God added, now, we are going to do this just the way I did it back in the day of Adam. Sorry. The scientist said, sure, no problem. And bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dirt. God looked at him and said, no, no, no. You go make your own dirt. As I was reading that story, I thought about that. Of how we tend to so many times we say to God, God, I got this. I got this figured out. I have four children. Surprised we haven't heard them yet, but no, they're good today. They went down to children's church, but I have three girls and a boy. But I have four children, and my youngest daughter, Olivia, is four now. And one day I was trying to help her with different things. And anybody that's a parent, especially, knows kids know everything. And like Grace was saying here, she remembers when I was sitting up here listening to some of her children's stories. I was usually the one that was jumping around, so I kept on my eye. I gave my daughters the eye, do not do what I did. But they know that. So my daughter Olivia, they're helping her with different things. She's always the one, she's my independent daughter. She's like, Daddy, I got this. I'm okay. I got this. I'm okay. But so as I was reading this story, I was thinking, is that what we're saying to God? God, I got this. I'm okay. We got this, and we're okay. And what does God say? No, no, no. Do it the way I did it. Make your own dirt. So today, our scripture we're going to be looking at is here in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We're going to stop there a second. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who is God? Who is He? Is He the same to you as He's the same to me? Is He the same yesterday as He is today? But the first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to turn here to Hebrews 11:6 quick. If I can get there. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seeks Him. Do we believe that God exists? I think the majority of us sitting here believes that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that there's a God. But do we know who God is? Let's continue reading here. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface and of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the first day, the first 24 hours. 24 hours, God said, "Let there be light." And He continues going. But that is the God that we serve. That is who God is. Do we give God what He deserves? Like I was saying, if we 100% believe that this word that we read is from God and is God, do we give God what He deserves? And I mean, do we realize how holy God is? So before we can understand everything in here, we need to understand who is God. And as we come here today to church, why are we here? Why are we here today? Can anybody tell me? To praise and honor God. I like that. To praise and honor God. For God, do we thank God for our country? Do we thank God for, thank you for letting me get out of bed this morning. Some mornings a little bit easier than others. Are we thanking God? Are we thanking the God that created the heavens and the earth, that just spoke words? And like I said, do we have faith that God can do that? I think of in Psalms 154 or 155, verses 1 to 3, David was writing here. He said, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and exalt your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and the most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Your greatness that no one fathom. David was known as the man after God's own heart. David was also a man. David made a lot of mistakes. We know the story of David and Bathsheba. We know the story of David and Goliath. His good and his bad. But what was David saying here? God, a man that was after God's own heart. He was searching. He was searching for God. He was earnestly looking for God. He said, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Do we give the word God the respect and the honor that it deserves? The Yahweh, the Lord. I read through Genesis 1. And just several times you say, God said, God spoke. He just spoke this into command. This is the man, or this is the God that loves us, that sent his son to die for us. He loves us enough. He's a creator of all, but loves us people enough to send somebody to save us. So I read that there in Psalms. It says, how great is the Lord, the most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. David knew of how great. He saw, he was down in his lows, and David was also up in his highs at times. But when he was down in his lows, especially here in Psalms 45, David was in one of his lows here at this point. And what did David do a lot of times? And when he was in his lows and in his distress, he went to God. He praised God. He knew who he was going to. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, or was with God, and the Word was God. This is where we find God. I think about last week. I did a wedding. I did a wedding for a couple of my. I enjoy doing weddings. They're a lot of fun. You get to see a couple come together, a man and wife come together. And they're standing there. The couple weddings I did, they were younger. They were a younger couple. They're like the one I did on last Sunday. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into. I told them that. I was talking with the guy. I said, it's fun right now. And trust me, it gets fun, but get your sleep now. It's hard. They were expecting a 1-month-old child at this point, and they decided they realized that they needed God. They wanted to have a wedding. They needed to come together, and they were trying to navigate through life, and they wanted to get become one and have that commitment together. So when I was doing this wedding, the verse that I was doing was, what is love? What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. We know this, the love chapter in Corinthians, but love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. And I was telling them, I said, this is what all love is. But you and I can't love. God can love. That is another attribute of God. God has a perfect love that we cannot even understand. So when I was talking with this couple, when I was standing up there, I said to him, I said, this is the covenant that God made with you and I, that he loved us that much. He sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. Not because we were worthy of it, but because he loved us. That was his covenant. Like in marriage, the covenant that you have with your wife or your spouse together, the husband and wife have together, that covenant to be together that cannot be broken. God's covenants cannot be broken. Same way with this couple, I was saying to them, the covenant that they were having together is that they cannot love each other on their own, but through God. The same God that spoke, he said, let there be light. That is the same God that had a covenant with us. The holiness. Are we coming today? When we come here to worship him, I like part of what you said, what are we here for? To worship and praise God. As we were sitting up here singing, I was watching people. I was watching this singing. I saw some people with their eyes closed, just I'm sure, meditating. Coming closer to God. I like in the beginning to what you were saying about let's quiet our hearts. And we played the prelude of quieting our hearts to prepare ourselves to come to worship God, the one that created the earth. Are we preparing ourselves? on a daily basis to come and come into his presence. Is it easy? Daily hustle and bustle of life. We tend to, how many times do we say, God, I just need your patience today. Or God, can you just grant me this? Or God, can you do this? I thought about this, and I watched this video a while ago, and I think I played it for a sermon one time, but it was called the Vending Machine God, the Real Vending Machine God. And the premise of the video was, when we go to God, what are you asking him? Are we asking him, God, do you know, like, give me a couple $100 today because I just need a little bit extra money? Or God, I would really like this new job. Or God, I want this. Or God, I would really like a new boat or a new camper. Or I just want my kids to listen today. Is that bad to go to God and ask? No, it's not. It's not. But it's saying here is, are we using God as this vending machine to pick and choose what we want to go to him? The Holy of Holy, the Almighty God. Are we just picking and choosing? Are we getting to know who he is? Like going back to what I was saying when I was talking with this couple of, they were dating. Think about a couple that here are married. Men, when you were dating your wife now, was it easy? I think about that with my wife when her and I were dating. I was searching, trying to figure out things about her. I told her already, I said to her, she didn't realize when I was doing this, I was Facebook stalking her. I was looking up all this little stuff. I'll tell you this little story. So when Allie and I were dating, we both worked together, and we knew each other fairly well, kind of. But first time I picked her up, I was playing this song in the radio. I was playing this song. I was like, because I saw on her Facebook somewhere that she really liked this song. So I was like, great, I'm gonna win this girl over. So I was playing this song on the radio, and she didn't respond to it. She didn't say, "Oh, I love this." She didn't say anything. She just kept on going by her day, completely oblivious. And I'm like, does she even hear it? So in my mind, I was like, well, I need to play it again. So I played it back. We played it again. And a couple years later, after we were married, I was telling her about this. Of, don't you remember when our first date, when I was doing this? She's like, oh, I just heard that song one time and thought it was neat. So I wrote it down so people thought it was cool. I was like, but yeah, so I was searching, like men, like you're searching after, going after your wives, trying to figure out about them. Do we put that much effort into searching God, finding God? Like in John, 1 John says, or John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. Are we getting into the Word? Are we getting into the Word? I'm guilty of it. Like I say, in the daily hustle and bustle of with kids or a job or just anything, summertime, vacation, getting ready for a vacation. Getting into it. Are we searching? Who is God? Who is he? I think, like I said, I think of David. It says, great is the Lord, the most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I think of also the verse that says, when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit knows our groans. He knows us. He knows what we need. Isn't that amazing? Can we get an amen?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing that we have a God, that God loves us that much? That he knows what we need. He knows our groans when we just don't know the words that come out of our mouths. I think a good friend of mine was going through a hard time, and he was saying it was a loss of a child. And he just said, he's like, I didn't even know what to say. I didn't even know what to say. I just could just cry out, God. And isn't that encouraging to know? Is in our deepest, hardest time, The God of gods, the Lord of lords that created the heavens and the earth, loves you and loves me that much that he knew what he needed and gives him that peace. And that's exciting. And like I said, who is God? It gets out of my pocket. I wasn't sure if I was going to use this or not. I have this little box. I have this box here. And I think about it. We go to God. We look at God for the example of, for here at our church. Church here at Myerstown. We go to God. God, show us what we want. Well, we want to grow. We want to do this. And I hear other church. I think of our church here at Richland. We talk as a leadership, and we're talking as a, how can we get the church to grow? How can we get people to come? What are we doing here? How can we get, is there a new activity we can do? Is there this? And as I was planning this sermon, I was thinking, I open up this box, and I have written in here, God. Can you see it? The little paper says God. And I have it closed up, carried in my pocket. I pull it out, and I use God when I want him, when I need him. What would happen to our church if we take God out of the box, put him in the forefront of our church, of our country, of our lives, and let him work? When we open that box and take God out of the box, the God that had his covenant with us, that sent his only son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. For whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For the God that loves us so much that he said, he spoke a word and said, let there be light. That created this earth in 6 days, in a 24-hour period, created this earth. Loves us that much that sent his son to die for us so we can be one with him. I think of that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. During the Easter time, I think about this, of when Jesus died on that cross and the veil was torn from top to bottom, separating the holies of holy. Because of how holy God was, only certain people could go in there. And they would have the high priest have a rope tied around their leg, because when they would go into God's presence, if they did something wrong or wasn't right, they would die. And they would have to pull them out. But that veil was torn when Jesus died on that cross from heaven down to us. So we can come into his presence. He gave us a way. Isn't that incredible? Like I said, amen. Like, it's incredible of the God. Who is God? Do we give him the honor, in the respect, in the love, in the faith? I think of Abraham and Isaac. The story the other week, I preached on Abraham and Isaac for Father's Day. And the one point that stuck out to me also in that was Abraham's faith. When God said, Abraham, go sacrifice your son. Abraham feared God that much. Not just scared, but had faith and trusted God that he would come through to give him that ram, that sacrifice that he wouldn't have to sacrifice. But what did he do? He took Isaac up to the top of the mountain, binded him up, laid him on the altar, had the knife ready to sacrifice his one and only son, and God sent away. But that fear that he had, that reverence, that faith, like it says in Hebrews, read that again, is that in Hebrews, of that faith just going to him. But he also says here in Hebrews 1, verse 10, in the beginning, the Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but your remains will, they will all worn or like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but your remain, but you remain the same, and yours years will never end. God remains the same from Isaac, from Abraham to Isaac to now. Are we taking God out of that box, put him in the forefront of our lives, of our church, and letting him work? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work? That is what God gave it. That is what God gave us when Jesus ascended up into heaven. He gave us his Holy Spirit. Are we allowing God to work? Are we taking him out of the box? Open up that box. Or are we keeping him in our pocket just for when we need him? God, do you know what? I need this or need that. Or God, I trust you. May you work. May you guide my path. Yahweh, I can't do this. Lord of lords, how precious is your name. I think when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, our Father, our in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He started off his prayer of how wonderful is your name. Let your will be done. How wonderful is that name? How precious is that name, God? Are we truly coming to him? Do we know who God is? Are we searching him? Are we earnestly wanting to know him like a husband wants to know his spouse? Like a friend? That's what he is. Are we getting into the word? So this week, I encourage every one of us, myself included. I'm bad at it, but get into the word. Read it. Search. That's what God wants. He wants that fellowship. He's walking there. He gave us a guideline of what to do. But let's open the box, take God out of it, and let him work in our lives. Amen. Our closing song today will be Holy, Holy, Holy. I picked this song today because I thought of the God that we serve. How holy is he? Would we please stand?
Thank you.
Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise the name in earth and sky and sea. I leave us today just thinking, how holy is the God that we serve? Lord, Heavenly Father, I just ask you to come upon us today. May you just show your greatness to us, and we just thank you and praise you for what you have done for us, for this church, for how holy, holy, holy you are. We just thank you for everything that you have done. I thank you for this wonderful country that you have blessed us with. May you just bring it back to you. Bring your church back to you. And I ask you to be with every single person here in this church, in this congregation today. May you just open our eyes and open our hearts to you, to your Son, that we can just see you and feel you, to allow your Holy Spirit to work here at Myerstown, that they can just see you and feel you. And we just thank you and praise you for all that you have done. In your loving Son's name, Jesus, amen. May you go out this week and remember that God loves you. Amen.
To hell, yet was raised up to reign, and his mind.